Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Employee podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Salesforce, the world's number one service platform. With Salesforce, you have a 360-degree view of your customers, empowering agents and making interactions easy for your customers. The result? Deeper customer relationships built on intelligence, empathy, and trust. Visit sfdc.co/customer-service to find out more.
Today, our editor, Lizzie Acas, is delighted to be joined by Debbie Bennett-Jackson, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Engagement at Citi and case study presenter at our 2019 Internal Communications Conference. Debbie is a chartered marketer with 20 years' experience in marketing, engagement, and change communications. Skilled in design, development, and delivery of award-winning strategies to support sustainable growth and transformation within highly competitive markets, Debbie's passion lies in supporting organizations to embrace change and recruit, retain, and develop their people.
Hi, Debbie. It's lovely to speak with you today. You are the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Engagement at Citi, and it was great to hear you speak about your case study, Rethinking Engagement, Using Behavioral Insights to Drive Change, at our Internal Communications Conference in September. Today, we're going to be delving a little deeper and expanding on some of the key points that you made in your case study talk. And if you're ready, let's get started.
Great. Let's go.
Lovely. So just to kick us off, can you please give us an introduction to Citi for our listeners that may not be familiar?
Yeah, of course. So Citi is one of our global banks. And to give you an idea of our sort of scale and scope, we have about 20 million customer accounts worldwide. We do business in more than 160 countries and jurisdictions. We cover a range of financial sort of products and services. So we've got a consumer bank, we've got credit, corporate, investment banking, and securities brokerage, wealth management. So we are huge. We're a giant. We have around 220,000 employees globally, and about 34,000 of those sit in our EMEA region. And how that is important, I guess, in terms of our work is the level of matrix that we have across the organization. So, you know, it's not unusual for somebody to be receiving communications down a global business line, down a regional business line, and even via local activities. So our audience is experiencing a very high level of sort of internal communications at all times.
Lovely, thank you. And in your talk, you mentioned that Citi has been trying to engage its people in change and encourage continuous learning. Can you tell us about this, please?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think we all know that the world of work is changing so fast at the moment, you know, more rapidly than ever before. And engaging our people in that change and encouraging continuous learning as people go is really essential to ensuring, you know, not only individual success for our people, but also collective success for the bank as well. But the research out there is fairly damning on organisational change. And someone like McKinsey, for example, would tell us that 70% of organisational change fails. And that typically is a result of employee attitudes and management behaviours that actually happen around that change. So, you know, as an organisation, if we want to be successful, we have to foster this a culture that's comfortable with continual change, because change is just the new normal, and that also engages our employees to make that change successful. And sort of added complexities to that are, you know, for the first time, we're managing five generations in a workplace. And all of these individuals have different attitudes, values, working styles, communication preferences. And in banking itself, post-crisis, you know, as an industry, we're looking to balance this risk-focused culture, which has been so important to our recovery, to driving innovation and change, which we need to actually not thrive, but actually survive against some of, you know, the fintech organizations that are out there. So for us, we've been looking at how do we empower our people to learn, grow and innovate. And to do that, we formed a partnership between resourcing, talent, learning and diversity, corporate communications to create a program called Be More. The Be More program was CEO sponsored. It's non-HR branded and it's an internal marketing campaign that supports the development of the behaviours needed to create this culture of innovation and continuous learning. And the way that we go to market is we pull rather than push our people to engage. So typically training in an organization can be mandated, and often in an organization like ours, that is potentially how it's perceived. But we actually pull our people to engage by using eye-catching creative that's fun, and it has a really strong call to action, and it's placed actually within places within our offices which aren't typically used for marketing or branding, to give it more standout. And then we use physical engagement in our core locations to support some of the activities that we're running at that time. And we use branded merchandise as a reward for people who participate, and also to kind of build brand awareness across the business. The call to action around all of this activity is always our social platform. So everybody is driven to a conversation which happens on City Collaborate, which is our internal platform of choice. And then we use a community management team to start and fuel conversations and kind of drive that community and build that community spirit. The community management team, they're a mix of volunteers, brand ambassadors, HR professionals. And the way that we sort of use that social community is we target cities' leaders. So we encourage our leaders to participate in all of the activity that's happening. And then we also use what we call our shadow organization. So they're people who may not be the most senior in the bank by title, but they are people who we know are very active from a social point of view. And so that helps us to kind of create a bit of a viral effect on the campaigns, conversations and activities that we're running. And everything sort of driving into that social platform, content that we produce, is things like, you know, videos, blogs, habit-changing bite-sized learning activities, such as we have something called the 30-Day Development Challenge. We have external and internal speakers, and then we also use crowdsourcing events as well.
That sounds brilliant. Thank you so much. And can you also just tell us about the 30-Day Development Challenge?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the 30-Day Development Challenge is actually our most popular activity, and it drives the most engagement across our audience. And it's an absolute great way of connecting people towards, you know, what being at their best means. So it's something that we've run now in EMEA for 3 years. And then last year, we actually took it globally across the whole organization. And the way that it works is it's about a series of micro actions. So it's about making things really simple for people. And, you know, if we're talking about being the best for clients, for example, it's about everybody across the bank, whether you client face or not, understanding what you can do to contribute to that sort of broader client strategy. So the way that it runs is we have one challenge a day for 30 days, each of which take less than 10 minutes to complete. And the science behind it really is that it kickstarts behavior change, because it actually gets people practicing new ways of work by doing, as opposed to kind of by reading something. And then we add a little bit of gamification to it for motivation. So on our social platform, you know, if you're sort of highly engaged in this, and if you're making lots of comments, sharing and actually participating, then you do sort of receive badges in some of those areas. And the way that the challenges go out is they do go out to people who have signed up for the challenge. They go out via HTML email, which has like quite a funny headline that links to the image, so it really stands out when it hits people's inboxes. And the challenges are structured where we give somebody a micro action that we ask them to complete. We then give them a resource that they read. And then the third part is that we ask them to reflect and share on what they learned by doing that action on the social platform. And that's kind of where the conversation goes into a big spiral.
Amazing. Thank you. And just following up from that, could you please tell us about the three pillars and three calls to action that you mentioned in your talk?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I think that these were linked to how we're evolving the Be More program. So, as I mentioned before, you know, Be More was something which originated from learning. And although it was a cross-functional project, as a team, we've actually changed our shape. So we are now a talent, learning and diversity function. So our strategy now is much broader than continuous learning. So when we first formed as a talent learning and diversity function, you know, we did a bit of soul searching ourselves around why are we here? You know, what value do we bring to the business, and how can we best support the business in the times that we're in today? And where we landed is that, you know, we're here to advance a culture in which everyone thrives and contributes to the future success of Citi. And we identified a few factors around that. So everyone thrives if they're engaged, if they have opportunities to progress and the mindset and capabilities for the rapidly changing world, which I talked about earlier. And then Citi will succeed if we have an inclusive and diverse environment that enables us to be the best for our clients and our colleagues. And the three pillars, which I think you're referring to for us, is how we separate our work. So we talk about people getting it, spotting it, and spreading it. So for us, get it is about helping our people to expand their mindset, develop their capabilities, and challenge any bias, which we know we all have. Spot it is, you know, all about sort of the talent agenda and identifying people with potential and, you know, potential to advance the culture and manage, develop and talent for now and in the future. And then spreading it is all about sharing the message. So thinking about, you know, supporting an agile environment, as well as us as a team lobbying for sort of policy and practice change. It's also about making sure that we're strengthening the platforms that connect and support our people via campaigns like Be More and, you know, sort of the broader engagement campaign that we're currently shaping and shifting towards.
Brilliant, thank you. And you said that Citi crowdsource for feedback on what conditions enable employees to be at their best and what employees might do to help themselves and each other to be at their best more often. Could you please talk us through this process and the feedback you received?
Yeah, sure. So when as an organisation, you know, we turn towards a very client-led strategy, we knew that, you know, to put the clients at the heart of everything that we do was going to be very important for us as we flipped into growth mode. So we needed to go out to people to understand, okay, so for us to be the best for clients, our people must be at their best. So what is it that we need to be providing them with, supporting them on to do that? And we went out and we crowdsourced using some World Cafe style events. So what that means is that, you know, we invited people to join. So it was a voluntary thing for people to get involved in. And then we hosted sessions across EMEA of up to 100 people. And if you think of them a little bit like speed dating sessions, where you basically create tables of up to 8 individuals, you ask them the questions that you mentioned before, and then people have a conversation around what they feel enables them to be at their best, for example. And people can go nuts. They write on post-it notes, they write all over the tablecloth. But it really does drive this wider discussion. And then we kind of rotate people around all of the tables to make sure that people are all having an opportunity to contribute. And as we're actually having the conversation, we have a sketch artist who sketches up the results and the outputs of each session in a really fun sort of cartoony type way, so that after the event, for those people who didn't attend or, you know, haven't participated, we obviously have some really good marketing collateral for the other film, and we have the sketch and all those things that we can use to spread the messages internally. And in terms of the feedback, we really found that there were 6 different areas that our people talked about. So career development. So people talked very much around people wanting to be lifelong learners. They needed the opportunity to continuously learn on an everyday basis and to learn on the job. People talked about inclusion and the need for a good work-life balance. They talked about needing family support, showing respect to one another, and the need for our managers to build inclusive teams and have inclusive practices across their teams. People talked about innovation. So how do we kind of develop ourselves to be able to take new risks and be accepting of them in a culture which obviously has, just for the last, you know, sort of 10 years has been saying, no, we mustn't take any risks. We must be really safe and sound. And we talked about being able to, as part of that innovation, people talked about being able to continually challenge ideas and internal processes that currently exist today. And people, the fourth thing people talked about was culture and the fact that people needed an environment to fail in. They needed to feel safe within that environment. They needed to be able to build trusted relationships. And they needed, that there was a real recognition that they needed to be ready and adaptable to change. And the fourth thing people talked about was collaboration and the need, you know, I talked before about how big of an organisation we are. You know, people talked about the need to break down silos, to build strong working relationships outside of your normal peer group, but also outside of your normal business functions. And, you know, the cross-sharing of knowledge and experience and ideas. And then people also talked about manager capability. And there was a really big piece coming through there around needing honest feedback so that they could grow. And also managers saying thank you, you know, and just recognising what people do on an everyday basis for the organisation.
Fantastic, thank you. And just following on from that, can you please explain the behavioural biases that you mentioned in your talk and what was done to address them?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, in the last year or so, we've been increasingly experimenting with behavioural science and the use of nudges. And we're doing that because, you know, we know that as a concept, this is sort of positive reinforcement. And it indirect suggestions, and using indirect suggestions as a way to influence the behaviour and decision making of groups or individuals by tapping into these cognitive biases that we know exist. So we all have these biases. It's just kind of recognising how to tap into them. So, there is a lot of them. But just sort of some examples I could probably give you is something like storyteller bias. So we know that we're more persuaded and have better recall of messages if we've been told them in a story format. So how that translates into, you know, marketing is, you know, we might use a blog or videos to actually sort of portray out certain messages. Priming, so is another sort of form of behavioral bias. So we know that our decisions are shaped by memories of things that we've just seen, so that can kind of come into play when where you place a poster or a message, and the really famous example of this actually that everybody always sort of quotes is the wash your hands campaign that the NHS did, and you know, it's the placement of where all of those sort of sanitizers and things were that actually helped really drive that campaign forward. That's just a couple of examples of how we've been trying to, you know, use these behavioural biases to influence you know, the decision making of people.
Amazing, thank you. And you mentioned Be More earlier. Would you be able to explain a little bit further and why it's been so important to implement leader participation in this change and what's been learned as a result, please?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So this again is another behavioural bias actually. So there's a behavioural bias called social proofing, which basically is that we copy the behaviour of others, in summary. It's slightly more complex than that. But well, we've been able to use our leaders participating in these activities to drive people's engagement. So, you know, traditionally what you see in an organisation is you see a lot of leaders who will send out a memo or a note that says, get involved. But what we try to do is to actually encourage our leaders to participate. So what that means for us is, you know, they're actually role modelling the behaviours that we're asking their teams to role model. But we're seeing that show up actually in the social community. So, you know, they're getting involved in things like the 30-day development challenge, that they're doing the challenges alongside their teams. And being rewarded for them with their gamification badges, obviously, so people can see that they're that they're participating. Or, you know, they're actually telling their stories via a blog or a video so that people can kind of see the reinforcement of some of the behaviours that, that, you know, we're actually asking them to display. And they're seeing them in people that obviously they respect and you know, trust in the organisation as well. And something like the 30-day development challenge, when that went global, just to give you an idea, when we had some of our senior leaders actually placing their comments onto the social platform, we often saw a spike in engagement of anything up to 7 times more than what we'd seen on days when senior leaders weren't participating.
Amazing, thank you. And just to finish us off, would you be able to give us any insight into what we might be able to see next from Citi in this area moving forward?
Oh, it's top secret. No, of course I can. So, you know, we over the last sort of 6-7 months have been working with our new EMEA CEO. And, you know, we're working as a combined talent, learning and diversity function. So, you know, we definitely have some changes to come. And I think for us broadly, that's, you know, we're going to continue to expand our engagement offering beyond learning and plan on, you know, how do we help our people to thrive? And for us, we sort of have 3 buckets of work that we're going to focus on. The first is challenging the way that our people think. The second is all about encouraging people to bring their whole selves to work. And the third thing sounds very, very tactical, but it's very important. Is all around helping our people find and understand the resources, benefits and policies that we have in place. Because, you know, as an organisation, we have some fantastic, you know, policies out there. We have, you know, we're very lucky. We have very good benefits. We have amazing learning resources, but people can never find them. So part of this work is going to be, you know, an increased focus on helping our people to understand where these things sit and how that they can access them at the time that's most important to them. So we have a really big focus about us not telling everybody about an update in a policy, for example, a recruitment policy or, you know, whatever that might be, just because HR feel they need to communicate it. But it's just about us, you know, putting that as a nudge in the system at the point at which a manager is hiring. Because the reality is that, you know, that there's so many messages out there anyway, they're probably going to ignore that message because it's not relevant to them at this stage. So we've got a really big focus around that area. So we're going to do more use of nudges, a lot more segmentation towards our managers, and more storytelling. Our videos, our blogs, and a lot of the user-generated content, actually, that we've been encouraging from our people has been so successful in terms of engagement and really sort of people showing up as their authentic selves that, you know, we're going to plan on doing a lot more of that as well.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you. Lots to look forward to. Those are all of the questions that I have for you today. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed this discussion. Thank you so much again, Debbie. It's been lovely to speak with you and hear more about this.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. I appreciate it.